Hi everyone, my name is Gabriel and this is the Hour of the Raven, your channel for everything Ravenloft, RPG, Dungeons & Dragons and horror. Today we will explore the streets and alleys of Peridon, a metropolis surrounded by mists. First, some brief clarifications. These videos and the next ones on Peridon are a partnership with my friend Jason from the Ravenloft channel. While my channel will do the traditional exploration of Peridon, revealing its history and secrets and its dark lord Sodo, the Ravenloft channel will cover the macabre story of the Fang of Nosferatu, an evil artifact in the form of a dagger, which is intrinsically linked to the history of this domain and its mysterious killer, the Bloody Jack. If you are a fan of Ravenloft and still don't know the Ravenloft channel, I strongly recommend that you subscribe to the channel and check out his videos about the mysteries of Ravenloft. I will leave a link to the video about the Fang of Nosferatu and the channel in the video description. Before exploring the Xerisha cluster and the domain of Peridon, most of our exploration through the mist took place in the core of Ravenloft and passed through domains that had already been covered in novels, adventures, and mainly in the Ravenloft Gazetteers, books that bring detailed information about the domains and their Dark Lords. I have always been careful to present Ravenloft in my videos, taking into account official sources. However, in the case of Peridon and other areas not previously covered by the Ravenloft Gazetteers, I intend to expand these sources of information. Peridon first appeared in the first box of the setting, as the domain of Xerisha, encompassing not only the metropolis, but the area that surrounded it. In the Grand Conjunction, the mists advanced over these lands, making the domain just its metropolis, surrounded by the mists, and integrating its underground areas into the domain of Tibor. The domain was further explored in the adventure Hour of the Knife, which later received an unofficial sequel on the Secret of the Kagatane website, Colored Shadow of the Knife, and received mentions in the Ravenloft's Red Box and in the book Domains of Dread. In the third edition, it receives a mention in the main book, but the domain was not covered in one of the published gazetteers. The Ravenloft fan community wasn't going to let the set rot in oblivion. The Fraternity of Shadows website, the best known and most organized fan site in the setting, has published netbooks that continue the Gazetteer's proposal, exploring in-depth the domains of Dread. One such Gazetteer, published by the Fraternity of Shadows, addresses the Xerishan cluster. In the video description, I'll leave the link where you can download this netbook. The next videos about Peridon will be based on the official material, the Shadow of the Knife Adventure, and the Xerisha Gazetteer. Are you ready? After escaping the horrors of Timur, we finally emerge from the sewers and reach the busy streets of Peridon. In this great metropolis surrounded by mists, few seem to care about our presence, and the few who give us their attention look us with suspicion and fear. We need to find a way to return to some familiar place and resume our search for Van Richten, and we begin exploring the city shrouded by mists.
Hour of the Raven.
Peridon is a domain of Ravenloft that addresses psychological horrors, paranoia, and mystery. This urban domain evokes the horrors of an advanced and decadent society, where nothing is as it seems, and evil hides in plain sight. Peridon is inspired by large urban centers, especially London of the Victorian era. Its very name, Peridon, is a combination of the names of Paris and London, and evokes the air of mystery and decadence of these cities in the 19th century. Many references in the media can be found to inspire this rich period of horror, and works such as Alan Moore's From Hell, Arthur Conan Doyle's short stories about Sherlock Holmes, and Edgar Allan Poe's macabre tales, such as Murders in Rue Morgue, can serve as inspiration, as well as the excellent TV series Penny Dreadful. The doppelgangers that infest this domain can also draw inspiration from modern and diverse fears. Dostoyevsky's novel The Double, or Clive Barker's short story Human Remains, are excellent examples of how scary doppelgangers can be, especially if the atmosphere of paranoia of films like Invasion of the Body Snatchers is added. Paradon is one of the most technologically advanced domains in the Land of the Mists. Although the books classify it as a Renaissance-era domain, its main cultural reference is Victorian London. Paradon was once the capital and center of the Xerisha domain, which encompassed the city and countryside around it. After the Grand Conjunction, an earthquake struck the city of Paradon, and the mists that surrounded the domain invaded the lands, covering everything. The great takeover of the mists has been halted, but the metropolis of Paradon is now strangled by the mists, which mark its borders, and its fog invades the streets. These tremors also brought forth another domain that composed with Paradon the cluster of Xerisha, and now, beneath its busy streets, lies the subterranean domain of Timo and its supernatural horrors. Describing the region and its geography is a difficult task, as the once broad domain of Xerisha has now been reduced to its capital Paradon, where a large population struggles to survive in this urban jungle. Paradon's climate is marked by constant fog and humidity. The autumn month is marked by torrential rains, which decrease during winter. Throughout the year, the rain evolves from a simple drizzle to a frequent precipitation until reaching its peak again in autumn. Another common element in the city is its fog. Surrounded and suffocated by the mist in its limits, the fog invades its streets and alleys, and can vary in its density and visibility in its districts, which are still harmed by the pollution and soot emanating from its chimneys. The city is crossed by the river Nodnow, a bed of dark, polluted waters that crosses from one end to the other of the border of the mists. These waters guard mistways that connect it to the Sea of Sorrows, and experienced captains explore its waters to conduct trade with the rest of the Corps. The entire remaining region is taken over by the city, with nothing remaining of its fields and agricultural areas, and we can describe its geography through its districts and neighborhoods. The city can be divided into 7 regions called districts by Paradoners: the Docks, Riverside, Black Chapel, the Bowels, Shadewell, South Shore, and King's Quarters. The docks have the official name of Port Hickory, but no one calls the region by this name. It is here that most visitors arrive at Paradon, and its great port is one of the largest in the entire Land of the Mists. The fog is especially thick in this region, and unsuspecting captains run the risk of colliding with the Maiden Rock, a large dark formation rising from the waters. The port is always busy and noisy, and goods are loaded and unloaded here that support the economy and the city of Paradon. Dockers, traders, and sailors work here, which is also heavily patrolled. The police set up several checkpoints to inspect visitors, especially those carrying weapons, which must be registered and follow security standards. Northwest of the docks, on the western bank of the river Nodnow, is the district known as Riverside. This district is a crossroad of the city's main districts, and is the beating heart of commerce. In the markets of Riverside, you can find products from different parts of the Land of the Mists, revealing the extent to which the captains of mists take their ships and caravans in search of goods. Products from the core, Sri Haji, Haraki, and Hokushima Taiyo can be found, but the prices charged here are inflated and usually cost the double of the standard price, unless you know where to look to find more accessible stores in alleys away from its main square. The Riverside Square is always busy during the day and its grounds contain many pickpockets. The square has two of Peridon's most iconic buildings, the Clock Tower and the Peridon Bridge. The Peridon Bridge is the only connection point between the two banks of the city, connecting the riverside to the bowels. The Clock Tower is an imposing and magnificent tower, measuring more than 200 feet, which houses complex machinery that accurately records the city's time. The district is also home to the Riverside Park, the city's largest park outside the King's Quarters. This vast park has gentle hills, statues, and trees, and is a pleasant escape from the oppressive urban environment. But at night, the place is occupied by gangs and drug dealers, and a trade in illegal goods can be found by those who ventured into the darkness of the park. Next to the park is the Temple of the Divine Form, Peridon's main religion, and around the temple are other ecclesiastic structures, with common areas and dormitories for its clergy. Finally, Riverside also houses a factory area, which takes advantage of the proximity to the market and docks to sell its manufactured products. These factories maintain private security and are close to the border with the Blackchapel district, from where they receive their cheap and miserable labor. Blackchapel is the most populous district in the city and is home to 2/3 of its population. Its name derives from the building called the Blackchapel, a temple of a now forgotten and abandoned faith. Its abandoned building is reputed to be haunted, and is now used by the faith of the divinity of mankind as a center for soup distribution for the population. Around its main avenue, there are countless nameless alleys and streets, forming a labyrinth. Its claimed 2- or 3-story buildings house countless tiny apartments, and its shadows leave the narrow alleys in darkness even during the day. This region is home to many dangers, and violence, alcoholism, crime, prostitution, and gambling are common. Here is where the main scene of the crimes of the infamous Bloody Jack took place, and graffiti marks the location of his crimes, saying, "Jack was here." The fame of this killer is also the result of the News Bill, a newspaper based in Blackchapel, and which is adored and defended by its population. Crossing the Peridon Bridge, you reach the bowels. The name of this district comes from its central position in the city, and not because it is dirty or fetid. On the contrary, the streets of this place are clean and organized, with characteristic 2- or 3-story red brick buildings, which are home to a large part of Peridon middle class. They say that the bowels devour the beggars and vagrants who roam its streets, and at night, this district is empty. Sometimes, screams rip through the night, and sounds of gunshots echo without response. Fear and paranoia begin to grip the population, and rumors increase about dark creatures emerging from the sewers of Peridon to prey on its inhabitants. The region serves as an intermediary between the poor district of Riverside and Shadewell, and its residents become more spacious and luxurious the higher you climb the hill. The neighborhood also houses several public buildings, some business, and even auction houses. Climbing a hill from the bowels, you reach the wide streets of Shadewell, where you can find imposing buildings, which represent the best of Xerician architecture. Private mansions with extravagant details, tall buildings up to 8 floors high or occupying entire blocks can be found. Most of the residents can support and maintain stables, and the wide streets of its districts are filled with carriages. The snobbish population that lives here uses carriages to travel even short distance, refusing to walk. Riding a horse is considered archaic, and many of the elite refuse to even touch these animals. You rarely see crowds in Shadewell, and the streets are relatively safe. Its residents are very protective of their property, and it's not uncommon for them to retaliate with gunfire for any invasion of their homes, under the allegation of legitimate defense of their possessions. Even the police are restricted in their activities and can only search properties with the express authorization of their owners, under penalty of having their careers suddenly interrupted by shady influence in the department. Among the main buildings in the district is the University of Peridon, which stands out as one of the largest and most advanced centers of knowledge in the Land of the Mists, with emphasis on the areas of medicine and chemistry. In the addition of the university, there are also important cultural landmarks of Peridon, such as the Metropolitan Cultural Center, the Peridon Art Gallery, the Zerisha National Library, and the Peridon Museum, a gigantic structure with many areas and artifacts from the most different parts of the Land of the Mists. South Shore is a district south of the Bowels, and is separated by a wooden wall, covered in graffiti and insults. Behind these walls live a large population from different foreign regions, who do not settle or are welcome in other areas of Peridon, where their population demonstrates their xenophobia and sense of superiority toward foreigners. In this region, there is a mist way called the Shrouded Way, which connects these lands to the domain of Darkon, and the region surrounding it is known as Little Darkon by the Darkonese community that settled in the region. Many Peridoners call this place Jack's Path, believing that the killer flees along this trail after this series of murders. This neighborhood does not have the same architectural characteristics of Peridon, and several foreign influences can be found, as well as community from Rokushima Tayo, Srihaji, Haraki, and Farazia. Some products from these lands can be found in markets in this region, with cheaper prices than those found in Riverside. One of the best-known ghettos in this district is one located around Freak Street, and which is divided on one side by the Caliban community and on the other by a strong community of half-Pistanis. The Caliban region is visited in secret by many in search of the entertainment of clandestinely organized box and wrestling fights. As Peridon is a large center of commerce due to the necessity and the diverse mistways that surround them, the half-Pistani stand out as important traders, using their Vistana heritage to brave the mists. They form a group known as the Captains of the Mists, dedicated to exploring the Land of the Mists, and meet at the Crimson Club, their headquarters, where they conduct their business. Finally, the largest region of Peridon is the King's Quarters, a region surrounded by high walls, where the true elite and aristocracy reside. Here, buildings demonstrate exuberance and grandeur, with glass, metal, stones, and ornaments. This district is the remnant of the glorious times of the ancient kingdom of Zerisha, an image of its former royalty and statues of its ancient heroes adorn its landscapes. The region is heavily patrolled by the police, who are always alert to any outbreak or confusion, as if they were ready to suppress any type of revolt or disturbance in the area. The aristocracy here has little or no contact with the common people, except for the servants who work in their mansions. The most imposing and important of these buildings is the Parliament Building, a place with restricted access, where councillors and the aristocracy meet to deliberate the fate of Peridon. The fauna and flora of Peridon suffered drastically after the Grand Conjunction. When this drastic event occurred, the city lost access to the fields and pastures that surrounded it, and fell victim to hunger and despair. In this dark period, all large animals became food, and even dogs, cats, and horses almost disappeared from Peridon, as rumors of cannibalism circulated. Today, thanks to the trade to the mists, the animal population is stable, and the upper and wealthier classes can even support large animals, having introduced horses to the city to use in carriages, a status symbol. Birds such as seagulls and pigeons can be found, as well as rodents. Insects and spiders can also be found, and centipedes sometimes emerge from underground. In some places, basement and condemned houses have become chicken coops and pig pens, and chickens, pigeons, rabbits, and pigs are raised to provide meat for the population. As for vegetation, little remains other than the trees found in the city's parks. Currently, almost all available land has been converted to vegetable gardens and plantations, and almost all parks converted to cropland. Many buildings maintain vegetable gardens on their roofs, but cloudy weather and shade from other buildings do not allow a wide variety of plants to grow. In the wealthy mansions of the Shadewell and the King's Quarters, private gardens and small plantations of vegetables can be found, and even pasture areas for horses. The King's Quarters district even maintains some lush gardens which rare plants from distant lands. The overwhelming majority of Peridon's population are humans, and physically they closely resemble Mordentians. Their height is medium and their complexion is fair, with their cheeks sometimes marked by a characteristic redness. Their hair is usually blonde or brown, rarely black, and can be straight or wavy, and their eyes are usually light and gray. Recent periods of hunger and the absurd social disparity mean that a man's class can be verified by his weight. Families in need suffer from malnourishment, while the aristocracy sometimes exhibits signs of being overweight. Although the society also houses foreigners, there are two other communities worth noting. The Half-Pistani community has individuals with olive and dark skin and dark hair, and they often wear it long and loose, or adapt part of the clothing style of their Pistani heritage. Some make a point of adopting elegant and impeccable clothing, emulating the style of Peridon's elite and aristocracy, even though they are never accepted by this society. The other community of note is the Calibans. After the Grand Conjunction, there was a great increase in the birth rate of Calibans in Peridon, and many fear that the city's pollution or some sinister mystical energy is deforming babies in the womb. These Calibans are recognized as citizens and have guaranteed rights, but it's undeniable that they suffer prejudice, and the majority live in a community in the ghettos of the South Shore. Sinister rumors say that a terrible race of shapeshifters, doppelgangers, are hiding among society. We know little about the existence and secrets of these monstrosities, however. Life in Peridon is oriented according to its social class, and society can be divided into three different strata. The upper class is made up of the aristocracy, and they are the ones who hold most of Peridon's properties, heirs to the power and money of ancient Cerritian society. This class practically lives in a private universe and isolate themselves from the poverty of Peridon, living in luxury and wealth. Their children are educated at the University of Peridon, and they are busy running their estates, factories and business, or behind the scenes of power in the Peridon City Council. The middle class underwent a great expansion after the Grand Conjunction, having seized the opportunities left by Zerisha's disappearance with their work and cunning. Merchants, artisans, qualified professionals, or public servants make up this bourgeois that lives by the ethic of work and that suffers the envy of the poor and contempt of the aristocracy. Many behave in a very civilized way, and as bastions of morality, and aim to grow their fortunes, perhaps reaching the upper class, whether by eliminating their competition, obtaining adventurous marriages, or simply bribing the municipal council. The lowest class is most of the Peridon population, and they have to fight daily to survive. Many work in services or factories in strenuous hours, and have very little time or resources. The lack of perspectives leads many to addiction, violence, and crime. Despite poverty, almost the entire population is literate, and they follow the publications of their newspapers with great interest. Most are proud to be paridoners, and do not consider life in other places, considering the lands of the core to be medieval and backward, with the exception perhaps of Lamordia and Dimoriu. Lamordia is considered cold and soulless for its materialistic view, and the Dimonlieus are considered frivolous and superficial. Paridon language is Zeritian, a fluid language with simple grammar. It suffers a lot from dialect and accents, and it's possible to find difference in slang and accents between the different districts of the city. Recently, the city's cosmopolitan commerce has led to several words and expressions from foreign languages being integrated into its vocabulary. The clothing of paridoners also varies between social classes. Suits are fashionable among men, generally in dark and sober tones, and with more pieces and accessories according to social class. Among high society women, elegant and delicate dresses can be found, but they also value sobriety. Hats are always in vogue. No one is seen without them, ranging from large top hats to bowler hats or simply berets for the less well-off. The lower classes are not able to dress in this fashion. Men's suits, when they exist, are passed down from generation to generation, and it's not uncommon for them to be frayed and mended, while women's dresses are equally threadbare, made and repaired with available materials. These clothes are only used on special occasions, however, as their daily clothes must be appropriate to their work routine, with shirts, pants and skirts, often filthy with soot and dirt. Peridon's cuisine is marked by the fight against waste. Years of famine means that almost everything is used up, and leaving anything left over is a grave sin. Even the aristocracy donate their leftovers to the poor at the end of their banquets. The higher classes have a richer and more varied menu, buying imported and fresh food, and with a great predilection for sweet dishes. Generally, Peridon foods are marked by preserved food, so that they can last longer. The lower classes most often eat dishes of soups and stews. It is very common for people to choose to eat in bars and pubs, and sausages of questionable origin and fish are common dishes, even though the Adnau River is very polluted and unsuitable for fishing, and fresh fish must also be imported. The upper class also acquired the habit of drinking tea, and imports of tea leaves from Srihaji grow every year. Although strong and dark beers are common, the local drink is gin, drunk in drinks by the wealthier classes or neat by the lower classes. The paridoners can be described as a reserved and serious people. Publicly, they value discretion, which lead many to think they are cold. In reality, everyone loves drama and excitement, eagerly consuming novels, plays, and any news about scandals, but it is not considered appropriate to show this feeling publicly. This seriousness is also marked by a dark and ironic sense of humor, which is often little understood. They are a very productive and inventive people, and they believe that opportunities for growth are available to all who try hard enough. A man's worth is often measured by his social position, and those who suffer from misery are seen as guilty of not trying hard enough to achieve a better position. The need made Peridon reinvent itself, and this is a land always in search of innovation and knowledge. The city is proud to have a fully literate population, and all children must attend schools to learn the basics before entering a productive life. Its university and its scientists are known for major advances in the field, and frequently present inventions and innovations. There is also an extra motivation for the population to seek study and specialization. Many believe that society is taken over by doppelgangers everywhere, but that these monsters are unable to emulate talent and specialization. And this is seen as a guarantee that someone will not disappear and be replaced by these mythical monsters. In sports, boxing and wrestling gain the attention of all social classes, and they even have formalized leagues with weight categories and established rules. In terms of worldview and arts, Poseidon society is still going through the traumas and transformation of the Grand Conjunction. The elders who lived in Xerisha before this tragic event suffered from the melancholy and sadness of the loss of more than half of the population that lived in the domain, as well as the loss of the fields and rural areas that surrounded them. The generation that grew up in this great urban jungle seems adapted to life in these conditions, and looks to innovation and technology as the future of Poseidon. These feelings are reflected in the arts, and there is a large movement that aims to emulate the recovery of bucolic aspects of rural life, forever lost, in paintings, texts and plays, and there is an attempt to rescue the region's ancient folk traditions. This cultural void and search for a lost identity can also be reflected in the museums and exhibitions that spread throughout the city, and Poseidoners often collect art objects from all explored parts of the Land of the Mists. Some of these macabre artifacts are said to be cursed, but they serve as a foil to their own identity and culture. Recently, an invention has drastically changed the world of arts: daguerreotypes, which can chemically capture the image on a mental plate with perfection. The use of this camera is not simple, but it has become a rage in Poseidon, and some are beginning to speculate about its use for the study of the supernatural. Although Poseidon has a lot of literary art, it is often published directly in its newspapers, which take center stage in Poseidon's life. Reading periodicals is common for all social classes, and these publications varied in theme, purpose and frequency, with some being published monthly, weekly or even daily. The Advertiser has a commercial purpose. The Ascendant is published by the Beacon of Goodness, of the Temple of the Divinity of Mankind, while others have political aspects as their theme, such as the Vigilant with a conservative aspect and the Clarion with an anarchist and revolutionary aspect. The city's main newspaper, however, is Newsbill, published daily and which has a wide reach among the low classes. Finally, Disclosure, founded by a journalist fired from the Newsbill, is known for its bombastic and hardly credible revelations on the most diverse, dark and shadowy subjects in the city. Poseidon has an enlightened view of magic, which is seen almost as a science that still need to be explored. Although Xerisha once had some theistic religion, it was forgotten and abandoned, and now their main religious creed is the divinity of mankind. This faith does not worship any specific deity, and is more similar to a sect of doctrines and philosophies. They believe that humanity is the most perfect and closed form of the divine, and that its members should strive to achieve physical, spiritual, and emotional perfection and awaken their inner potential. They do not believe in the existence of gods, or at most, they argue that these are examples of the potential of what the human soul can reach if it evolves through its multiple reincarnations. Its symbol is a stylized figure of a man inside a circle contained in a square, and its headquarters is the Temple of Divine Form. This theological philosophy has the conviction that humanity is the closest form of life of the divine. Therefore, they view humans as a superior race to other sentient races, and only humans or races that are half-human are accepted in this order. Through the pursuit of perfection in all areas, humanity can awake the divine spark and even channel mystical and magical energies through its body. This philosophy encourages its followers to improve themselves through the constant search of education, knowledge, arts and sports, in search for complete perfection. members of this philosophical order obtain divine graces through meditation and try to remember their past lives and reincarnations. There are, however, different factions at work within it, with monks who seek to relive ancient life experiences, clerics and paladins who seek to spread philosophy, celebrate ceremonies, and guide those in need on this path, and philosophers, arcane mages and occultists who seek to unveil the divine spark through occult studies in secret lodges. Zerisha's former government had separate national and municipal administrations, but now the Zerishan parliament has been unified into the city council, and members of the aristocracy and parliament meet to deliberate on laws. The government previously was exercised by the prime minister, but this model was also reformed. Paridon is an aristocratic republic, and only nobles over the age of 21 who reside and have property can apply and vote. To be elected as a representative of a certain district, the noble must own properties or business in that neighborhood, and elections are held every 5 years. The votes elect the position of mayor, city manager, international manager, and the district representative. District representatives participate in committees that discuss taxes, commerce, transport, education, health, and welfare. The city manager is responsible for hiring public employees and acts as a manager for the police officers, firefighters, hospital employees, lamplighters, municipal maintenance teams, teachers and clerks. The international manager is responsible for international affairs, trade and business, and the appointment of ambassadors to other nations. Finally, the mayor is the one who heads the municipal council and manages portfolios regarding important events inside and outside the city, in addition to appointing judges and commissioners for civil bureaucracy departments. Paridon has a robust judicial system, which in theory guarantees everyone the opportunity to defend themselves, if they manage to hire the very expensive services of a lawyer. Civil cases and minor crimes are tried by appointed judges, but more serious crimes are brought before a jury. Debts are often imposed on family members of debtors, whose salaries might be confiscated as payment, and the overcrowding of jails has given rise to prison boats, which are located on the river, far from the banks and under closer surveillance. Paridon's trade is its salvation and main source of income. Its privileged position between several relatively reliable mistways make the domain a crossroad of diverse products. Paridon imports everything it needs, such as food, wood, minerals, and inputs, but its factories and technological advances allow it to export manufactured products, fabrics, firearms, medicines, and books. Their contact with distant lands such as Harakir, Okushima Tayo, and Srihaji also make them resellers of products from these distant lands, a market that proves to be quite profitable. To explore trade more directly with Harakir, Okushima, and Srihaji, the Colonial Merchant Company of Zerisha was founded, which attempts to establish not just trade, but merchant colonies in these distant domains. Paridon trade is mainly naval, and not a day goes by that a ship full of merchandise do not arrive at its port. The mistway that leads from the Nordnau River reaches the Sea of Sorrows near Blaustein, while their ship has suffered greatly from pirate attacks. Its main trading partners in the core are Demolu, La Mordia, and Arcon, although they indirectly import several Falkovnian grains. We walk through the streets of Paridon, lost in this place of fog and smoke, haunted by the horrors and wonders of this advanced metropolis. Nobody understands our language, and we are losing hope of getting directions or information on how to leave this city, when we hear our language spoken in the Riverside Square. We approach the merchant and ask for advice, but he seems to have little time to waste with us. When we say we are looking for a passage to the core, He impatiently tells us to look at the docks or at the colonial merchant company of Zerisha, fearing that at the docks we will face a crowd equally hostile to foreigners. We search for the building of the colonial merchant company of Zerisha, and there we discover bureaucrat employees that spoke our language. Without a scheduled appointment, we are taken to a waiting room, an office in a library, to wait for a captain or officer. While we wait, we discover in the library collection a newly translated and printed tome in our language, telling the story of the nation of Zerisha and its tragic disappearance into the mists. Join us, turn on notifications, and subscribe to the channel, and let's explore the history of Peridon.